I'm Clyde Lewis. You're about to listen to a sample of today's Ground Zero show. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call it at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. You should check out the new graphic on our Facebook page. It explains everything you need to know about how to listen to Ground Zero. You can either check it out by going to aftermath.fm, or we stream it online live from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday. You can listen by phone by going to 717-734-6922. You can also listen to the archives. We're going to aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. There for $4.99. You get the shows only. But you can also get the library that has montages, shows, a chat room, your own website, all kinds of cool things you can have, your own digital playground. By going to aftermath.media, that's aftermath.media. Important for supporting this program. We really appreciate those who sign up, and we'd love for you to sign up too, because it's a definite value for all the information you get. So please, aftermath.media, that's aftermath.media. So you know my routine when I leave the show. I mean, Wes and I stay behind. We work on some things, and we got to be out of here by midnight. And, you know, with me, after I do a show, I'm all worked up, can't calm down. Sometimes I have coffee, and it keeps me up all night. And it's like, you know, it's always a chore for me to go to bed. And Janine sometimes is worried, because sometimes I crawl into bed around 4 a.m., and she's like, why do you stay up so late? Sometimes I crawl in early, so why do you go to bed so early? It's like I can't find that balance. There's a delicate balance that needs to be found when you go to bed at night. So last night was one of those nights. I come home after the show. I went home and, again, unable to sleep, and I had nothing meaningful to watch on TV. TV's in a glut right now. I can't find anything good to watch, at least something that looks interesting to me. Everybody says, "What? Oh, you need to watch The Queen's Gambit or something like that." And I'm going, why? I don't want to watch a movie or TV show about chess. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. Who knows? But, you know, I'm really into The Mandalorian. Now, The Mandalorian's great. And I know The Mandalorian comes on Fridays, but that means when I come home from the show, it's Thursday nights for me, so I come home from the show, kick on The Mandalorian, I get to watch it. It's one of my favorite TV shows right now. But they do it weekly, so I have to wait until Thursday night, Friday morning, before I get a chance to see The Mandalorian. But I didn't want to watch it again. The last episode was kind of, I wasn't bad. It's just, I just want to see what happens next. So to watch that episode another time, I watched it once myself. Then Liam and I have a moment where we watch it together, like Friday morning. And so that'd be the third time seeing the latest Mandalorian episode. I just didn't want to do that. Well, I'm in the mood for some Star Wars. Let's see. What do we got in the queue? We got the, you know, the cartoons. We got the stop animation. We got all that stuff going on. I figured, what the hell? I'll just start with Phantom Menace. And, you know, I figured, you know, if I do the Phantom Menace, I'll be able to watch the others and watch them in sequence. I won't watch them all at once, but I'll just watch them, you know, in a sequence. So that way I can get them in, right? So I watched the Phantom Menace. I'm really not a big fan of all the prequel movies. I mean, after watching The Phantom Menace, I realized why I'm not that much of a fan. The prequels are arguably, they're political films. They're not war films, okay? Not really space war films. I mean, I like Star Wars when it takes on the identity of a space western or maybe a full-on war epic. That's why I like The Mandalorian. It's kind of like the sheriff's come to town, he's got a gun. Don't mess with the sheriff type of thing, right? I like that. See, that's what's lacking, I think, in these later films. I don't share in the struggle of a millennial who wants to destroy everything and start over. I'm not impressed with that. Okay, I'm not impressed with the politically correct nature of a female protagonist that somehow deserves to have everything handed to her in order to be the savior of the Jedi. I don't get that. Who was she? She was nobody. Why'd they hand her all the power? Hell, I don't know. Where'd she get it from? I don't know. And they have some lame reason why. But, you know, even though it's Star Wars, I mean, I did a video earlier and I said, Star Wars is like pizza, okay? It's really hard to screw up pizza. There are better pizzas and there are some pizzas that aren't as good, but pizza's pizza. Pizza's good, okay? So Star Wars is like pizza. There are some pizzas that are really good and some pizzas that suck. Not really suck, but they, you know, they're not as good as the other pizzas. And so the prequels are not the best pizzas in the bin of Star Wars. So I wanted to watch The Phantom Menace anyway, and I did. And because another reason why I watched that is because I don't like Solo, A Star Wars Story. I thought I'd watch that again. No, I liked Rogue One. I like A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, the three newer ones. I mean, the ones I talk about, you know, the Rogue Ones and the others, they were war movies. They were good war movies. But the funny thing was, is that, you know, the Phantom Menace and the other ones, the other two that followed, I always tell people, well, the reason why I don't relate to those movies is because it's not my generation, right? Not my generation. I don't get the politics. I don't care. And that's why I don't really care how Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. I don't care, right? So I was watching The Phantom Menace, and I started to care. And I thought, man, you know what? Lucas made these three films. And when they first came out, I wasn't really intrigued. But now I'm older. The film has grown for me. It's grown. I mean, hell, Jar Jar Binks is never, ever going to grow on me. But the kids love him. I don't. It's kind of like, why do we? No, never mind. So let's keep Jar Jar Binks. Misa suck. Let's keep him out of the whole, you know, equation here. But watching The Phantom Menace gave me new insight as to what I've been describing as predictive programming. Okay, The Phantom Menace and the other two prequels are political films that I think I can identify with now more, you know, more now than I did when I first saw them. I can admit that now. I mean, I have to say that the excitement of seeing it in the 1990s was not the same as seeing it today. I mean, the prequels never really did measure up. And getting past Jar Jar Binks, you know, again, a little too much. But from a political perspective, I realized that what was happening in the film applies now more than it did. I mean, I know people are drawing comparisons to the Bush administration and drawing comparisons to the Obama administration. And that's, I mean, I'm sure you can do that. But this, I mean, now it seems, I mean, this is like what, 21 years old, this film, 21 years old? And what it does and what's eerie about it is it anticipates every major sociopolitical and cultural movement in the 21st century, something that only becomes more obvious when you look at the other two movies that happen after Phantom Menace, The Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. I mean, I've written, I think, maybe three or four stories about Star Wars and about the political overtones and about the war comparisons. I wrote two well-known articles and blogs I wrote was The Sith Sense and Our Wars and Star Wars. And when I speak of war as opposed to political comparisons, I just have been so ensconced in movies like The Matrix and Star Wars and their meanings and their hidden meanings that I've written about them. And so I reflected on that I've never written anything about The Phantom Menace. And I thought, you know, maybe I should do that. Maybe for some reason it's okay to go back and crack open an old movie that you really didn't have any excitement for. And you take a look at it and you're wondering, okay, so how is this applicable to what's happening to us now? And I realized that The Phantom Menace deals with what only can be seen as political complacency, the lack of meaningful civil discourse and ignorance of the people and how they simply do not know how planned failures within government, I mean, failures that breed hostility, are what bring about what actually bring about takeovers. And I mean by that hostile takeovers or silent takeovers from entities that are beyond, namely, you know, evil, poneristic, parapolitical empires. And in this case, it's the Galactic Empire. I mean, in the prequels, you try to figure out the politics in these films. They're not exactly the politics that we're used to. I mean, we have a republic. That's easy. But then we have individual planets that have their own local governments. And there's a democratically elected Senate. Now, this is fairly easy to figure out. I mean, it's a matrix to comprehend. But the thing that is always puzzling to me is the Jedi Council. I mean, they're a collection of spiritual warriors whose own righteousness largely renders them oblivious to a massive conspiracy, to a massive threat growing right under their noses. I mean, the Sith are rising, and the Jedi either don't know what's going on or they just don't care. They don't care. I mean, they detect this disturbance in the Force, and I'm led to believe that it wasn't any one particular evil. It was just the incivility that was brewing in government. And with the people of the Republic, there's a line that explains it all. And it was delivered by the very man who later becomes the emperor. His name is Sheev Palpatine. I wonder if I have time to play that. I think I do. Let's play this clip here. Here's a clip of Sheev Palpatine telling Amidala what's going on. Hold on one second. We have a problem with the computer. Okay, Sheev Palpatine, this is him speaking to Queen Amidala. Okay, we're having some technical... Here we go.
There is no civility, only politics.
The Republic is not what it once was.
The Senate is full of greedy, squabbling delegates.
There is no interest in the common good.
I must be frank, Your Majesty. There is little chance the Senate will act on the invasion.
Chancellor Valorum seems to think there is hope.
If I may say so, Your Majesty, the Chancellor has little real power. He is mired by baseless accusations of corruption. The bureaucrats are in charge now.
What options have we?
Our best choice would be to push for the election of a stronger Supreme Chancellor, one who could control the bureaucrats and give us justice. You could call for a vote of no confidence in Chancellor Valorum.
He's been our strongest supporter.
Our only other choice would be to submit a plea to the courts.
The courts take even longer to decide things than the Senate. Our people are dying, Senator. We must do something quickly to stop the Federation.
To be realistic, Your Majesty, I think we're going to have to accept Federation control for the time being.
So anyway, we have the Amidala saying our people are dying, Senator. We have to have, you know, something happen. Well, I think we'll have to deal with Federation control for some time. Meaning that there has to be something that controls all of it. Not the Republic, but other entities moving in to change it all. Now, the Jedi have this, you know, hands-off type of attitude. But yet they all meet together about the fate of the Republic. Okay. So you have this hands-off attitude. Then you have these, you have the senator that's saying, we're going to have to hand over power. And you're going to have to put in a vote of no confidence for the acting president or the president of the Republic. So what are you going to do? And she's just, what, a queen. She's part of a monarchy. It's really interesting how this all comes together, and I'll break it down for you a little more when we come back. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.